Valentine's Day. What a great day, isn't it? And I'm telling you what, it's just marvelous. John Reed wrote these words in November of 2015 after his wife passed away. It's an acrostic poem. L is for laughter we had along the way. O is for optimism you gave me every day. V is for value of being my best friend. E is for eternity, a love that has no end. I dare say he wrote those words with tears. Elizabeth Barrett Browning lived in 1806 to 1861. She penned these words, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. For the ends of being and ideal grace, I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose. With my lost saints, I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life, and if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death." Robert Burns lived 1759 to 1796. He penned Rose. "Oh, my love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Oh, my love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. So fair art thou, my bonny lass, so deep in love am I. I will love thee still, my dear, till all the seas gang dry. Till all the seas gang dry, my dear, and the rocks melt with the sun. I will love thee still, my dear, while the sands of life shall run. And fare thee well, my only love, and fare thee well a while. And I will come again, my love, though it were 10,000 mile." Well, people really get mushy, don't they, when it comes to love? January 21 is National Hugging Day. Do y'all know about that? Of course, you know that Valentine's Day is February 14. July 6 is International Kissing Day. Sounds interesting. Men, I bet you you're glad that you don't live in India. Valentine's Day is celebrated for 8 days. February 7 is Rose Day. February 8 is Propose Day. The 9th is Chocolate Day. The 10th is Teddy Bear Day. The 11th is Promise Day. The 12th is Hug Day. The 13th is Kiss Day. And then 14th is Valentine's Day. I don't want to live in India. Somebody projected that Valentine's Day spending for 2021 would be $21.8 billion. Have you seen these numbers? The average person spending, the average person who is celebrating Valentine's Day is said to will spend or has spent $164.76. Maybe we could take a poll this morning. How many of you are above that and how many of you are below that? Could I guess that 100% of us are a little bit beneath that somewhere? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not Evan. You know, he's still in that stage. Can I pick on anybody else? Well, I better not. The average, on average, men will spend more than twice as much as women. Men will spend $231, where women will spend $101. $8.1 billion spent by Americans. Americans. Can I even, I don't think that I can even understand $8.1 billion. $4.1 billion by Americans are spent on jewelry. $2 billion on flowers. $2 billion on candy. If I could put a side note there, if it's men buying candy for their love, for their wives or girlfriends, $2 billion on candy, and then they probably turn around and say, you know, you're getting fat. What is this? $2 billion on candy. I love Valentine's Day, can you tell? God's Word says a few things about love. Actually, God's Word says a lot about love. And God's Word tells us about love from different angles. One of those angles is our love for God. You know what God's Word tells us about our love for Him? Now, this is God's Word telling us about our love for Him. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. If we take that at face value, that would tell me that I do not fully understand love until, first of all, I recognize His love for me. And I can't recognize His love for me until I learn the verse that we started service with today. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What tremendous love for us. What tremendous love for us. How should we respond to that love? By loving Him in return. The Bible also speaks about brotherly love or familial love. Church family or personal family or individual to individual. He says a lot about that kind of love. It really does. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 13 and 14. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's the words of Christ. That's the words of God to us about our relationships around us when we talk about love. He wants us to love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beginning, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. That's brotherly love, familial love, church love, people, loving people. You know, we don't have to go to bus and outreach or outreach and bus convention to understand that we should love each other. If we simply read God's Word, we'll find it that way. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to outreach and bus convention, but seems to be the focus of what they're talking about, but that's really just simply what God's focus is for His people, to love one another, and He gives us the expression of love in His love towards us. There's another aspect of love that God's Word shares with us and teaches us, and that is romantic love. Where can we go to find romantic love? Turn with me in your Bibles to Song of Solomon. We'll go there, but I'm not going to read it all. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 16. Oh, here she is penning these beautiful words. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Oh. What is that expressing? That is expressing a tender love. Yes, God's word talks to us about a tender romantic love. We go down just a little bit further to the fourth chapter and the 10th verse, and here we find that the groom is responding to his bride. He said, "How beautiful is your love, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than any spice." That's the romantic side of love. Paul admonishes the church at Ephesus about this kind of love. It makes me wonder, as I just get done looking at a few verses in the book of Song of Solomon, and I come over here to what Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus about the same type of love, I wonder if there was an issue that he knew that he needed to address. And if people are people the world round, and people are people the same in each generation, then I wonder if Paul should express it and address it in our culture today as well, just as much as he did then. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." What is the message of Christ's love to us? No, we don't necessarily think about it in the same senses as romantic love. But it was or is a romantic love. There is something about the love of Jesus Christ that allowed him or sent him to Calvary to take the payment of our sins upon himself. Not because he just wanted to, but because he loved us. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Ephesians chapter 5, 33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband." There is a reciprocating that goes on in that statement. Somewhat different, but there's still that reciprocating that takes place. Maybe we could stop right here and ask ourselves the question, how do I value my spouse or my love? Love being a person. How do I value that person? My wife shared with us, mentioned last Sunday about Boaz and Ruth. What a great romantic story. It's a marvelous romantic story. Some people have been able to really put the words to that story and make it just a glamorous romance. Isn't it a wonderful story? If you haven't read the book of Ruth for a while, go back and read it. Man, it wouldn't hurt you. It wouldn't hurt us a bit to read it. And if you can find somebody that has put a lot of extra words to it to make it a present-day romance story, go ahead and read that as well. But what about another story? We're talking about Valentine's Day. We're talking about love, romantic love. God's word tells us and speaks to us about this kind of love and the importance of this kind of love. What about another romance story that maybe we don't hear quite as much about as we do Boaz and Ruth? It's a good story to read. It's not very long. It's really only one chapter in the book of Genesis, chapter 29. One verse seems to stand out in that chapter that seemed to encompass the entire romance story from the man's side of things, as though the man has a tremendous role in this particular love. The story is about Jacob. Won't take the time to refer to all of the details that go into it. But if you look at verse number 20 of chapter 29, there's something that is recorded there that should set us back a little bit on our heels to recognize how much value he placed in this one that he loved. Let me read it for you. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Whew. Let me read that again. It's hard to grasp it the first time something is said. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Some people were sharing Friday night at that Valentine's banquet about how long they dated before they got married. Some people hold a pretty short record, and I hope nobody else tries to break that record. Won't say who or how long, but it was pretty short. Whew. Dating. I don't know. I think somebody came pretty close to this 7 years of dating. And I dare say that there's not too many people that want to break that record that's here this morning. I think, what was it, 6 years? Was that what I heard? 6 years. Jacob waited 7 years. Now, you know what Jacob said about those 7 years? That is the key that I want us to look at. I want us to get a hold of. Maybe I should have Adam read it. If you weren't there Friday night, you don't know why I chose Adam. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had for her. 7 years he waited. And he said that it seemed unto him but a few days. Do you know how many days are in 7 years? 2,557 days. Now, if you know that entire story, not only did he wait 7 years, but then he waited another week, and then he waited another, or he had to live another 7 years in payment for that love. Can you do some math real quick and tell me how many days that was? 5,114. And if you add 7 more days to that interim week, that takes it on up to 21. 5,121 days. What is that kind of love? Wow. Why did I say all that? Why did I say all that? Why do we even focus on this kind of stuff in the pulpit on a Sunday morning on a cold February day? Well, we do because it's Valentine's Day. But it's also a reason for us to focus on it on this particular Valentine's Day is because that there is a spiritual enemy that we have who has his crosshairs settled in on the heart of our homes. I don't care how good of a home you have, the enemy of our soul, the spiritual enemy of our soul, has his crosshairs on the heart of our home. The heart of our home being the relationship founded in love. Jacob said it seemed as though it were mere days. Even as the scripture warns us to guard our hearts, we also must be vigilant to guard the heart of our home. We must be vigilant to guard the heart of our home. We must be vigilant to guard the heart of our home. Proverbs, Solomon writing these words. I believe that he's attributed to be the author of these words. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15, drink waters out of thine own cistern, running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, be intoxicated, or the King James says, ravished always in her love. Why Why wilt thou, my son, be intoxicated or ravished with the strange women and embrace the bosom of a stranger? You see, did you hear the warning out of the book of Proverbs from the man that should have taken his own advice? And maybe when he was writing these words, when he was penning these words, maybe he was wishing that he would have taken his own advice. This is a guard to the heart of our home, the very heart of our relationship, that of love. Spiritual enemy of our soul has his crosshairs settled in, resting, doing everything that he can to slip some kind of a bullet, an arrow, a dart, to create fractures within that home. Let's guard against that. Guard against that. It's not too late this morning to say Happy Valentine's Day. May the love of God build our foundation of our home in love so that we can love the way God wants us to love. It's there. Could we take the time this morning? No, I'll just let you go home and read it. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Take a look at it again. And love the way God wants us to love. Let's stand together. Don't forget our services this evening. Lord willing, the snow's going to hold off. We won't have to worry about it. We'll be able to enjoy service tonight. Fully anticipate that to be the case. So let's come out and expect to be in God's presence this evening. Praise God. Praise God. Warren, would you dismiss us in prayer?